that the God of the universe loves me and knows me by name. I'm overwhelmed that the voice of creation, he speaks to my heart just the same. And he tells the winds when to breathe and be still. He calms my heart when nothing else will.
That's the God I serve. He's the God of all creation. He's the God that's always been here, who's created all things. Everything that we see, God spoke it into existence. That's the kind of God we serve. He's the only God. He's the real God. He's the living God. Amen? He's the all-powerful, all-knowing. He's the only God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So good to have Brother Sandy, Sister Sherry Marino. Why just wave at us? Marinos from El Salvador. Love this couple. We're purchasing the compound from them, and they gave us probably half price of what it's really worth. And they are beautiful people. They are Christians. They just won my heart when we were in El Salvador. And just watching their love for God and the people, they just really blessed us. And so good to have y'all today. Praise the Lord. Children, you're dismissed. All the children from age 5 to 11. Give you an update. We have sheetrocked. They're not finished with the sheetrock for the second and third floor, but we're getting it done for our Christian school back here. And this is our goal. Our goal is to have, for Thanksgiving break, when we leave, the Christian school leaves for Thanksgiving break, to have them in that facility when we come back. That's the goal. So we have the money to finish the facility, and that's exciting. I don't know about you, but... And we're going to have an opportunity once we get the carpet put in and the walls painted, everything up. We're going to just ask you after a Sunday morning service to take a tour of the facility. It's something that I believe you'll be amazed. You've seen the gymnasium. We'll take you on the tour. People who want to do that one afternoon or in an evening after the evening service, you can see what we have over there. I believe that right now with materials right now, that if we were to go get a loan to get that done, it would be anywhere from $1.7 to $2 million to hire a contractor to do everything. And it didn't cost us that much, but it would cost us that much with today's process and hiring a contractor. But we're just a fraction of that is what we have in the facility. And it's just a miracle. God's working miracles. He's got plans for us. For the last day church, and I want to be a part of that, don't you? If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, I want to thank everyone here for being faithful to revival services. I mean, Wednesday night, we had a Sunday morning crowd, almost, not quite, but almost a Sunday morning crowd on Wednesday. So much, Monday and Tuesday, just the services that we had were just phenomenal. God moved. I know it was ordained of God for Brother James Snow to come. And it was just these altar services. I don't know what to say. Some of you have testimonies. God was doing a work, and he's continuously doing a work. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 1. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for what we feel in the sanctuary this morning. We ask you, Lord, that you touch every heart that's represented here today, those watching by Facebook, I'm asking you, Lord, that you'd speak to us with clarity. I pray that you would, Lord, allow the Holy Ghost of the living God to anoint these lips of clay. Lord, I want that anointing that makes preaching effective to rest on these lips and every ear that we can hear what the Spirit would say to us. Lord, I'm asking you to transform us and to change us by the power of the Holy Ghost. And we ask you in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Going to preach to you on a thought, a unique thought on loving people like you've never been hurt. Loving people like you have never been hurt. It's been said to preachers by other preachers that have gone before us when they're training young evangelists or pastors, if you will preach to the hurting, you'll always have a crowd. Why is that? Because there are simply so many hurting people outside of the church and on the inside of the church. Many things can bring hurt. Situations, circumstances can bring hurt our way. But more than not, it is people that bring harm and hurt our way. And oftentimes, it's the people that we love the most. And you know this as well as I do. Nobody can hurt you like the people that you love the most. That world out there, they can say things about us. That boss man, you know, he can do things to me. It's not going to affect me like somebody in my own church or my own household, a friend that has become very close to me. Ladies and gentlemen, we have got to learn that problems and offenses are going to come. And we got to make up our mind by the help and the grace of God, we're going to love them. That family member, that individual that's wounded us, just like they never hurt us. Some people in the church, they carry wounds for years and it's done damage to their spiritual life. Whenever you are wounded and it's an open wound and that wound has been festering for years, I'm going to tell you what will take place. It will oftentimes render you ineffective in the kingdom of God. You cannot heal someone else if you're hurting. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to get healed in this place. Some of you have been carrying things for years. I want to see a mighty revival. And we had a good revival this week. But I'm going to tell you that is not an outpouring like we're going to see. We just got a little taste, but if we're going to experience a move of the Holy Ghost, we've got to get some healing. We've got to pray through some things. We got to leave that gift at the altar and go back and make it right with our brothers and sisters. Pray through and allow God's Spirit to pour in the healing oil and wine. I can tell you, nobody can touch you like He can. Nobody can heal you like the great physician named Jesus. Everywhere He went, the Bible says He was doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with Him. And God, not only does He want to heal your physical body, Almighty God wants to heal the wounded soul, the troubled mind, and He can do it for us this morning in this service by the power of the Holy Ghost. Until we allow God to heal those wounds, we will be ineffective helping others. It's just that way. And we've got to ask God, Lord, I want to love that person just like they've never hurt me. Now, I'm going to tell you ahead of time, that is not normal. That is not something that comes naturally to care for people who are against you. That is something altogether different. It is not normal for the natural man. But whenever we begin to take on the mind of Christ, we begin to let His mind become our mind. You know, Paul said, you've got to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But He, Jesus, made Himself of no reputation, took upon Himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. We've got to let His mind be our mind. I'm going to tell you today, I don't deserve salvation. I have wounded our Savior. I trampled underfoot the blood of the new covenant and counted it an unholy thing, but He still loved me, and He loves me today, right now, right here, just like I've never hurt Him. Why? Because of His great love. It is other than our love, and we've got to allow His love to love others through us. Well, I used to love and I used to care for people. I used to be that person that would give and reach out. But my family's been hurt, Brother Matt. I've been hurt. I've been taken advantage of. Listen, you can show me your scars and I can show you mine. We've all got scars from past wounds. But you cannot close up, build up walls just because you have been hurt from somebody. I can tell you, we've got to learn to deal with these things, and we've got to remain pliable and tender so that God can use us as his hands and feet extended to a lost world and to our brothers and sisters. Don't build up walls just because somebody's hurt you. Don't punish everybody else because you have been wounded. Allow the Spirit of God to heal you today. There are many that will not allow their heart to be opened up. They're bitter. Now, if you're in denial over bitterness, it's time that we face it. I can talk to folks and I can hear the stuff coming out of their mouth, and it's about the past things that have happened to them, and they just can't stop talking about it. They can't stop talking about a husband that cheated and left, or a wife that did them wrong, or children, or a friend. And then listen, you say, well, I'm not bitter. You can say you're not bitter all day long, but that doesn't change the fact that you may be bitter. Amen. I'm telling you, we've got to get some healing in this house. Listen, if that's you today, you're just one of the categories I'm going to preach to today. There's a lot of different categories. Get ready. In this life, somebody's going to break your heart. Somebody's going to abandon you or leave you. Someone is going to say some hurtful things about you that may be true or maybe they're not true. Someone is going to disappoint you. Someone is going to let you down, lie to you, stab you in the back. Somebody is going to reject you. Amen. It's just going to happen. But I can tell you it happened to our Jesus. So what we need to do is we need to stop playing the victim and having a victim mentality. And we need to pray through and get victory. Get over that stuff. Listen, the old timers, you'd say, well, you go in for counseling with some of those old time preachers, them Pentecostals. Preachers, you say, listen, this is the problem. You know what some of them would say? Go pray through. There are some things that nobody can give you all of the answers to, but I can tell you, if you can get to that altar, grab a hold of the horns of the altar, pray until you touch him, I'm going to tell you, he can do things for you that nobody else can do for you. He can touch you in one moment and do for you in 3 seconds more than anybody can do for you in a lifetime. Just touch the Master, get to him, and I promise you, you can get your healing. It's easy to allow things to fester. It's easy to love people when we have no conflict with them, or if we share the same viewpoints, if we share the same theological perspective. Oh, it's easy to get along with people from HTC, but I can tell you, you get somebody down the road that don't believe like us, and some folks can just be downright mean. Listen to me, I'm a theological individual. I believe that theology matters. Right doctrine matters. Anybody who says, hey, we all serve the same God, we're all going the same place, you better read this book again, because I can tell you this, we got to go by the way of the book, not parts of it. That's why we call this a Pentecostal or a full gospel church. We don't just preach the positive things that make people feel good. No, we preach the whole counsel. We've got to be separated from this world. We got to come out from the world. Paul said, touch not the unclean thing. Listen, I want all the gospel. Oh, just part of it's not going to do. I want to hear everything. And it's easy to get along with people who share our same theological perspective or have the same standards we have. Oh, listen, I bear witness with somebody who believes just like me. Well, I'm going to tell you, not everybody's going to believe identical to Matt Gregory. Doesn't mean they're lost. Doesn't mean they're away from God. And I've got to love them the same way. I didn't say join up with everybody whenever they have some kind of a crazy theology. That's not not what I'm saying, but I am saying to exhibit the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, come on, church. I'm telling you, that is what the world's looking for. They want to see a genuine Christian. We can talk the talk. It's easy to talk the talk, but we must walk the walk and allow Christ to love through us. It's easy to love when marriage is in the honeymoon stage. But I can tell you, there comes a time when you get back to that house and you have to go to work and you get sick and the laundry's not done and things happen. I'm going to tell you, we've got to learn to love. There are things that are said from husbands and wives that shouldn't be said. And I know the Bible says, don't let the sun go down in your wrath. Listen, if you want bitterness, a surefire way to get bitterness in your heart is to go to bed angry with him. I know he was wrong. I know he said some and did some stupid stuff. But if you go to bed angry, it's just like you drinking poison and waiting for him to die, because it's going to do more damage to you than it is to her. Come on, church. I'm telling you right now, listen, it's easy to love in the honeymoon stage, but listen, whenever you're walking with your brother or sister, or you're walking with a husband and wife, you're going to mess up. You're going to do things, and what you've got to do is learn to forgive quickly and have some spiritual amnesia. We have a bad memory when it comes to things we don't want to remember. But we have a good memory on other things. We need to forget some things. Amen. My hard drive up here is, now we've got a lot of things going on up here, but I don't have a large hard drive. You know, when information comes in, it's like other information goes out. I got to make notes. I've got to do those things. But I can tell you something. God's helped me through the years to forgive quickly. Listen, I ain't got time to hold no grudge and to feel, I ain't got time to have an ulcer over somebody else that did me wrong. No, I'm going to forget about it and move on. I didn't say I'm going to let that person abuse me constantly. Come on. I'm not saying take an old pistol whooping every single day, but I am saying this. We've got to learn to forget about it and move on. Get on with your life and allow God to work in you and through you. When children act right all the time, it's easy to love them. When we have our health and wealth and happiness, it's easy to love. But no one lives in that state all of the time. We just don't live that way. John in John 16 and 33, Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that it you might have peace. In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. He said, I have overcome the world." Listen, every time I read that, it makes me feel good all over more than anywhere else. Why is that? Because Jesus has overcome the world. I know it looks difficult. I know everything looks like it's closing in on us. It is not near as bad as you think it is. Jesus Christ has already planned an evacuation for the church. It's called the rapture. It won't be long. We're getting out of this place. Listen, if we stay here and I die by the way of the grave, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. In this world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And because Jesus has overcome the world, guess what that means? That means Matt Gregory's going to overcome the world. Not in my own ability, my own strength, my own human ingenuity, but by the help and the grace of Almighty God. My elder brother Jesus has gone before me, and he prays for me every day. Because he's overcome, I'm going to overcome. Getting hurt is a part of life. The question is, what are you going to do with that hurt? What have you done with that hurt? God does not want us to walk around wounded. He does not want you to walk around with a spiritual limp. He wants to heal that thing. He intended for us to be healed and whole. Some of you are not whole. Some of you are wounded, and it's past wounds that you've never really got healed over. He created us, God. He created us to love like we've never been hurt, because that's exactly what he does. Listen, the mercy and grace of God is unexplainable. How could Jesus Christ forgive me and love me like I've never done anything? I'm going to tell you, I was a bad kid. I was lost. I was wicked. But yet we understand by the word of God that when the blood of Jesus Christ touches us, we're not the same. We are, listen, we've been transformed. We've been cleansed. And in his eyes, we've never sinned. I want to tell you something. He said, I'll remove your sins as far as the east is from the west. He'll throw them into the sea of forgetfulness. Listen, he don't remember our sins against us like everybody else does. I'll never understand that. I'll never be able to wrap my mind around. He just loves me like I've never hurt him. I'm going to tell you, my sin nailed Jesus Christ to the cross, yet he loves me like I've never hurt him. James Garfield, our 20th president, had been the 20th president of the United States for only 4 months. When he was shot in the back July the 2nd, 1881, by a would-be assassin, he lived just 3 months more. You would think that the shot would have killed James Garfield. But it wasn't the shot that killed him. In those days, doctors didn't understand germs, and because you could not see the germs, they didn't think they were there. James Garfield got shot in the back, and it never penetrated a vital organ. But the doctors put their fingers in the hole trying to find the bullet for months. James Garfield was in the hospital, and an infection set in, and it moved throughout his body, and it was just a tormenting death for James Garfield. Listen, we tend to do the same thing with our own wounds. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. A wound oftentimes will not kill you. The initial strike of the wound, it's whenever infection sets in. How does it set in? It sets in when we replay the bad memories again and again. It's like sticking a dirty finger that's got bacteria in it in an open wound. I'm going to tell you, infection can set in and it can bring disease to that body. How do we do this? How do we damage ourselves? We replay the bad memories again and again. We meditate on it. We sit in this place and we begin to think of what they did to us. Why did they do that to me? I never did anything to them. I don't understand why they're against me. And we just play that thing over and over again, just like rewinding some kind of a show and playing the same thing over again. We also do it by talking about it repeatedly to anyone who will listen. We bring it up constantly. The reason why that infection is getting worse, because you keep talking about it. You keep bringing it up. And listen, some folks, they would rather be infected and wounded than get healed. They love to talk. They love to express that pain. I'm going to tell you, some folks really enjoy being a victim. You need to pray through if that's you today. Maybe it's somebody watching by Facebook. Maybe it's not anybody in this house. If you enjoy that victim mentality, you need to pray through. We also infect that wound when we think of ways we can get revenge. They did this to me. Well, I got something ready for them. I can tell you this. If you do, you'll come under the judgment of God. The word of the Lord says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. We need to let God handle that. And listen, God is just. And we don't even pray, God, bring judgment upon them. We pray for God's mercy. We also bring infection when we poke and prod constantly. We look at it. We analyze it. In this process, we become bitter, hardened, and often withhold our love from those who need it the most. Let me just give you this inside information. I know they did you wrong, but you're the very person that can make the difference in their life with the power of love, with the power of forgiveness. There is something about that love that's been administered to the person who has actually been the victim that God can use in a powerful way to bring life to that individual. Your love and your forgiveness may be the difference in someone's eternal destiny. God doesn't want you to live bitter and hardened. He wants you to be healed so we can love without limits. How many of you want to love without limits? I want to love without limits. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, this is the love chapter. There's only two chapters in the Word of God that's been wholly devoted to a subject in itself. The faith chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter, and then 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. Two subjects, faith and love. Does it have a whole chapter devoted entirely to it? Listen, you can do everything. You can have all of the abilities. You can have the gifts of prophecy. You can preach the gospel. You can give every bit of your, you can give your body to be burned, Paul says. You can do everything, but if you don't have love, you are nothing. I'm going to tell you, we oftentimes, especially in the Pentecostal church, we put the emphasis on the power gifts, divine healing, tongues and interpretation. We put the emphasis on the power of the Spirit. Well, I believe in the power of the Spirit. But if you don't have the love of God flowing out of your heart, I've seen some folks, maybe not in this church as much, but I have seen some folks in our denomination, oh, they got the power, they got the gifts, but they don't have any love. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus was the epitome of love. He loved man whenever they were yet sinners. He died for the ungodly. If it wasn't for the love of God, we'd either be dead. Maybe some of us would be in jail. We'd be lost and undone without God. Thank God for His love. We ought to lift our hands and thank Him for the love of God. I'm going to tell you, that love got a hold of this young man whenever I first got saved. Listen, that love, it got a hold of me, messed me up. I looked up at the sky. The sky looked a little bluer than it did before. The grass was a little bit greener. The trees had such beautiful shapes. My boss man, I even liked him now. I'm telling you, oh, the love of God that's so rich and pure, it just does something to you. It causes you to love that person you've never loved before. We need to allow the love of God to get a hold of us. We need to look at the cross, what He did for us, how He loved us, and begin to exhibit that love to a lost and a dying world. I don't want a legalistic religious spirit, and I have been guilty of that in the past. Listen, I'm going to keep my convictions. I am not going to compromise with this world, but you don't have to compromise. You can still love them and show them the way of the cross. You can point them on a straight and narrow. Jesus Christ is the straight and the narrow. He is the love of God manifested in the flesh. Paul makes it very clear. You can have all these things, but if you don't have love, you are nothing. But Pentecost without love, it just doesn't work. Listen, let me ask you a question. Have you been wounded? Has a family member hurt you? And I know for a fact, with this type of a crowd, somebody has hurt you. You have a family member that's hurt you. The things that I hear that has festered throughout the years is unbelievable. Pastors, we have a vow of silence. But I want to tell you something. The weight that people carry from past pain is unbelievable. It is doing damage. Listen, I know we all have that temptation to let hurt and disappointment get a hold of us, but we've got to let it go. Think about this for a moment. And you answer your own question, this question by yourself, and I want you to think about it. Do you want to be right or do you want to be reconciled? Some of you have been estranged from a family member for a long time. And you just don't want to back down because you say, well, I wasn't wrong. They're the ones that created the offense. It doesn't matter who was wrong or right in the offense. What we need to do as children of God is to love them anyway and go to them. Listen, do you want to be reconciled or do you want to be right? I tell people all the time, in marriage, you can either be right or you can be happy. And I'm the happiest man in this building right now. Oh, come on. Listen, do you want to be hurt or do you want to be healed? Well, I want to be hurt because then I can get some attention and then I can talk some more and I can have people dote all over me. I don't like people doting all over me. I want to tell you that right now. Oh, listen, you can either be hurt or you can be healed. You can either keep being the victim or you can start becoming whole. Listen, the Holy Ghost gave me this word for somebody in this house today. You need help. You need healing. And if you allow God to heal you, you're about to see miracles in your family. You're about to see some things that you've only dreamed about, you've been praying for a long time. God's about to do something, but you've got to let it go. And if you ever talk about it again and bring it up, it's going to cause that wound to open up again. Damage is going to take place, and God will stop working miracles in your life. Listen, we need a bad memory. I'm going to say it again. We need to forget about some things and move on. Philippians 3:13, Paul said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." One thing. "Forgetting those things which are behind, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus." Listen, he said there's a time that you need to just have some spiritual amnesia. Let me just paraphrase it. You need to have some forgettery about yourself. Is that a word? Well, it is now. Some forgettery about yourself. Forget about the past. Move on. Some of you have been meditating. Forget about it and move on. Help us, Holy Ghost, today. Oh, God, help us to forget and to love people like we've never been hurt. In church, I'm seeing many people estranged constantly from the people they love the most, from children and grandchildren, some from siblings or parents, over petty little squabbles. 10, 15 years estranged. Well, what was it that you guys were arguing about? Well, I really don't remember. Or, yeah, we were at the Thanksgiving dinner and he said something to my wife and I said something to him. And I said, well, what'd you say? What'd he say? I don't remember. I didn't like it. I'm thinking, man, you need to pray through over this thing and go make it right. Come on, church. Listen, he loved us. He loved us like we never hurt him. But yet we hold grudges because we feel like we're justified. No, I'm going to say it. I'm going to attach forgiveness to this. Jesus said, if you don't forgive your brother, I won't forgive you. That is a surefire way to miss the rapture of the church, is to hold on because you say, you don't know how bad it was. They hurt me. They hurt my family. They talked about me. They caused all this riff in my life. Well, I'm going to tell you something. We did a lot to Jesus, but he loved us and he forgave us, and we must do the same for somebody else. God is calling us to love. Hear me. Love is the answer to a broken home. Love is the answer to the drug addict. Love is the answer to fractured relationships. Love is the answer to being offended. Love is the answer to heartbreak. Love is a weapon that can shatter division and rebuild what has been broken down. Listen, not everything can be put back together. I want to say that right now. Not everything can be put back together, but I can tell you what God can do. He can make all things new. Amen. Not everything can be put back together the same way it was, but he, Almighty God, the miracle worker, can make all things new. And you can say, man, how could it be better right now than it was before the hurt? Because that's the kind of God we serve. God knows how to cause the devil's plans to turn around on him and cause them to backfire. I love it when God causes the devil's plans to backfire. Somebody in this place needs to make up your mind. I'm getting healing before I leave this house. Do you want to see revival? Do you want to see the miraculous? We got to get it right in our own heart. What would happen if we decided with God's strength and grace, we're going to love them like they never hurt us? Brother Matt, you just don't know what I've been through. You don't know the multiple offenses, the pain. I feel like I'm getting cold and hard. My point exactly. I just feel like I'm just numb to what they've done to me, and I just don't even know if I can. I don't even want to be around them. I don't even like to hear their name. My point exactly. Listen, this is not isolated to certain people. This is everybody, and especially the person that's hurt you the most. Amen. The Bible gives us many examples of people who chose love over hurt. These people knew that love never fails. First of all, there's a man called Joseph. We all know about this man. Joseph was the second youngest of 12 brothers born to Jacob. He was his father's favorite, and everyone in the family knew it. That was the first problem. Because jealousy is such a wicked, ugly thing. I preached on this a Wednesday night a while back, that even in the ranks of the ministry, jealousy can manifest. It's ugly. Listen, anyone that would be jealous over someone else's ministry in any category, any place, anywhere, listen, you really need to get to an altar, because anytime it becomes about yourself and about your ministry, you're in trouble with God. We should be rejoicing over, if it's a true church and they're preaching the full gospel message, they're preaching, they're rightly dividing the word of truth, we ought to rejoice. It doesn't matter if they're in this state, this town, this country. Why? Because it's all about the kingdom of God. I can tell you something, if you got a jealous bone in your body, that's another thing that you need to allow God to deal with you over. Jealousy got the best of his brothers. They hated Joseph and could not speak a kind word to him. But Joseph had the gift to interpret dreams, and he had a dream. When he had that dream, he began to tell his family that they were bowing down to him. You know the story about the years of famine, and they're thinking, hey, buddy, we're not bowing down to you. You're already daddy's favorite, and you think that you got an upper hand on us. Jealousy moves into their heart. You know the story. They ended up selling him into slavery. And I want you to think about this. Joseph was not abandoned and sold into slavery by strangers. Joseph was abandoned and sold by his own family. Well, I could handle it if it wasn't my family. Exactly. This is exactly what Joseph was going through. He was betrayed by his own family. His very own flesh and blood sold him like a filthy, good-for-nothing piece of trash. Think about that. Some of us understand the sting of similar types of hatred and resentment. Maybe a close friend abandoned you because he or she was jealous. Listen, it happens. Abandonment, turning their back on you because of jealousy or for any other reason, it happens, and you felt the sting of it, and you're thinking, man, why? And you just, the pain runs deep in that heart. Listen, and instead of encouraging that person, instead of loving that person, although they hurt you, you decide, I'm going to cut them off. How many people have you cut off in your life? I'm not talking about people that would pull you away from God, because, listen, Paul also says, save yourself from this untoward generation. If I have to cut some folks off, love them, not mad at them, not holding grudges, but to keep myself pure and holy, I'm going to do that. But what about the people that hurt you? What about the ones that you refuse to allow to get close to your life again, or anybody to get close to your life because of hurt? How many people have you cut off? I want to remind you of something. When Joseph was sold into slavery, you know, there's a journey that he went on in Potiphar's house, accused falsely of rape. Then the baker and the butler, whenever he was in the dungeon, he interpreted their dream, and the baker? He still did not tell Pharaoh about Jacob, or Joseph rather. And here he's going through this time, but there came a time that he came out. And listen, in all that pain, he could have been so bitter. He could have thought about my own brothers, my own family who did this to me. This was not a stranger. They rejected me. Now, although he is second in command over all of Egypt, listen, that pain doesn't go away by itself. You got to make up your mind to love anyways. You got to make up your mind to give it to God. You got to make up your mind not to get angry and bitter and fester on it. And you got to allow God to heal those wounds. There came a time that whenever the famine was over and Egypt had all the grain because of Joseph, his brothers came, and here he is. He's facing his brothers. Joseph had a choice whenever they came in the room. They didn't recognize him, but he recognized them. He could either give them as good as they gave him, or he could love them like he had never been hurt. Brother Matt, it's easier said than done. You can't do it without God's empowerment, without His grace. But I'm going to say this. He walked in that room, and he recognized his brothers. They didn't recognize him. And the Bible said that he just wept. Oh, he yearned for his brothers. Think about that. That's the love of God. Instead of wanting to stick a dagger through them, I was going to say a gun, but there was no guns. Instead of wanting to kill them, this man, he yearned. His bowels yearned with compassion. He loved them like they never did anything to him. And you know the story eventually that he made himself known to them, and he loved them, and he embraced them, and he forgave them. Listen, that is the love of God. Anything other than that is the flesh, and it spawned and hatched in the incubators of hell, gets in our heart, and it does more damage to us than we could ever realize. We got to make up our mind that we're going to love anyway. We're going to forgive anyways. We're not going to allow somebody, ourselves or anybody else, to stick their finger in that wound, try to heal it with infected fingers. No, we're going to allow the healing oil and the wine of the Holy Ghost of God to get in there and do a work in our hearts. What about David? About to close. David was a father. David had a father who did not believe in him. When Samuel the prophet came to pick one of Jesse's boys to anoint as king, something interesting happened. Samuel asked Jesse to bring out all of his sons. One of them is going to be king. David's father, he paraded seven of the boys before Samuel. He didn't even bother adding David to the lineup. It was as if Jesse was saying, there's no need to bring David out. He's not the right material. Now let me paraphrase what somebody would have thought. The perception that he gave was, David's a loser. He's a failure. David, we're not even going to bring David out. He'll never amount to anything. Maybe somebody in this house, you remember having that feeling growing up as a child. Or maybe somebody that you were close to gave you that impression, you're never going to amount to anything. Listen to me today. David refused to let that spirit get a hold of him. Why was David a man after God's own heart? Well, I could name several reasons why David was a man after God's own heart. But I can tell you this. David, he refused to hold a grudge. Listen, David could have got mad at Jesse, his daddy. Listen, dad didn't even think I was good enough to be king. Although he was anointed by the prophet, it could have stayed in his mind. Daddy didn't even think I was good enough. And then after Saul, his own mentor, tried to kill him over and over again. Saul's throwing a javelin at David because of jealousy. But David refused to touch the anointed of the Lord. Think about this. This is not normal. This is not natural that a man would love even though he's been hurt. It's not natural whenever Saul over and over again tried to kill David. And the moment David had a chance to kill Saul, you remember what happened? All he did was he cut some of his garment and held it up. He got away from Saul, far enough away where Saul couldn't harm him, and he held it up. I could have killed you. Basically, he's saying, leave me alone. I spared you. And yet, even doing that, David's heart smote him. He got convicted even over doing that. And then whenever Saul got killed, listen, the man that's trying to kill him, after he got killed, David lamented and he wept because he loved Saul. He loved even though he had been hurt over and over again. Do you want to know why he was a man after God's own heart? Because he loved even though he had been hurt. What about Michal, David's wife? Whenever he danced before the Lord, she was embarrassed. She mocked David, but he refused to hold a grudge against Michal, his wife. What about his son Absalom? Absalom tried to kill David, yet David refused to hold a grudge. He loved him, his boy, even though Absalom tried to kill him. I want you to think about this for a moment. But Brother Matt, you have no idea what I've been through. No, I don't. But we have no idea what our sin did to him on that cross either. We have no idea what we did to him when we willfully disobeyed. Can I have someone come to the piano? Here, David, I can name these people, four people in specifically that hurt him. His father, Jesse, hurt him. Thought his son was a loser. Yet, he never let that get a hold of him. Saul, his mentor, tried to kill him. Yet, David never allowed that to make him bitter. His wife, Michael, she was not a good wife. Solomon says when you find a wife, you find a good thing. She wasn't a good wife. But he refused to let it get a hold of him. And then his own son, the one, his own flesh and blood. Listen, the ones that love you the most can hurt you the most. While David could have gotten mad and even, he didn't. The Bible tells us David was a man after God's own heart. He kept on loving just like he had never been hurt. You have to love this way to be a man or woman after God's own heart. It's not normal. It's not something that you can work up within yourself. I say this all the time. Grace, the word grace in the Greek, if you read in the New Testament, the definition of grace is not just God's unmerited favor in our life. Grace is what? God's empowerment, his ability. So when we talk about grace over God's grace when it comes to sin, it's not a license to sin. Grace, God's supernatural grace, gives us this supernatural power to overcome sin. I say it all the time. Anybody who says the God who created the earth and everything in it, the God who sent his son to die on a cross 2,000 years ago to say that he won't give you this empowerment to overcome willful sin in your life, you serve another God. Because I'm going to tell you something. You do not have to sin every day. You do not have to be bound by the wickedness of this world. There is freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And if I do sin, I have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And I can come to that altar and he will cleanse me and make me brand new. You can. But it takes God's grace and your choice together at the same time to get the miracle. Can we stand? What about Jesus? Jesus was betrayed by one of his own disciples. Can you imagine? Have you ever said to yourself, man, I wish I could just see one supernatural. Now, we've seen a lot of miracles at Harvest Time Church. We just had a lady, Sister Laura Smith, get healed of cancer. Four different areas, the doctor said, it's cancer. They do this every day. When she went in, they were going to do a biopsy. You can convince somebody else that it was a cyst ahead of time. I don't believe that. Four different areas, they said it does not look good. They went in to do a biopsy. And whenever the doctor went in, he was shocked. The cyst busted. I don't believe it was a cyst before the church prayed. I don't believe that. I believe God healed. God is a miracle worker. He worked miracles in front of Judas. But yet Judas sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. But he loved him all the way to his own death. Judas is in hell today. He hung himself. Demonic spirits, demons entered into Judas whenever he took the sop. The Bible said Satan entered into Judas. He was demon possessed. He had already backslid. Christians cannot be demon possessed. Satan cannot cross the bloodline. You have to willfully backslide, get away. You have to cross the bloodline. You have to open the door and allow the enemy to come in. Satan cannot cross the bloodline. Judas ended up getting possessed by the devil, ended up hanging himself, and he is in hell today. Jesus loved him. Jesus was disappointed by his own disciple, Peter. He looked at Peter and said, you're going to deny me, Peter. Can you imagine Jesus doing all that he has done for those disciples, working miracles, speaking the words of life into Peter? He said, Peter, you're going to deny me. Peter said, I'll never deny you, Jesus. Yeah, you will, Peter. He said, after you've been converted, after you fall, you repent and you've been changed, go and strengthen the brethren. Jesus loved Peter like he had never been hurt by Peter. Peter said to a little girl, I don't even know the man. Jesus went to that cross, died, and she said, you're one of his disciples. I don't even know who you're talking about. I don't know him. Yet Jesus loved him like he had never been hurt. Whenever Jesus was raised from the dead, he said, go tell the disciples and Peter that I'm alive. Jesus loved Peter so much, and he forgave him in such a special way. He wanted Peter to know, I forgive you, Peter. I'm alive. Yes, you messed up, but I'm going to love you like you've never hurt me. That's the love of God. Roman soldiers beat Jesus where he could not even be recognized. Isaiah says he was marred more than any man that's ever lived. He was beaten. Listen, the movies that you see of Jesus beaten on that cross, but when he was dying, don't believe that. He was not recognized by anyone who's seen him. He was beaten to a pulp. And that wasn't the worst part. The physical wasn't the worst part. The worst part was that the Father had to turn his back on Jesus. Why? Because Jesus took on himself the sins of all humanity, all of the wickedness. It came upon him from those hours, and the Father could not look upon sin. And Jesus, in that state of separation from his Father, he loved humanity even though they hurt him. He looks up and he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's the love of God, ladies and gentlemen, and we've got to manifest that same love in our hearts. But you just don't know what they did to me, preacher. Jesus loved like he'd never been hurt. He loves us, every one of you in this place. Once you've repented of that sin and got it under the blood, he loved you in your sin. Now, it didn't mean you're going to go to heaven in that willful state. But he loved us like we've never hurt him. Explain that, preacher. I can't. I don't understand it. He loves Matt Gregory like I've never failed him. He loves me like I've never lied to him. Well, they've lied to me one too many times. Jesus said to Peter, Peter said, how many times should I forgive my brother when he sins against me in one day? Seven times, Jesus? Peter felt real spiritual. I'll do it seven times. He was expecting praise from the Lord. Jesus said, no, Peter. 7 times 70 in one day. That's impossible to have that many offenses come in one day unless you have a twin or something, you know. What Jesus was saying was unlimited forgiveness. Who is it that you've cut off? Who is it that you've held things against? Whoever that is the person that God's dealing with you about right now. Jesus loves us like we've never done what we said we'd never do again. You ever told the Lord, I'll never do this again, Jesus? Oh God, forgive me. We get to that altar and we repent over it, and there's true repentance. I understand when you repent, you turn from it, you don't willfully practice that sin again. But here's the facts. I've never met a man so holy that after he gets saved, he doesn't sin or mess up. I've never met a human being. One man, Jesus. We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus. Those times you said, Lord, I'll never do it again. Now, there may be a last time. I want to be very balanced here. But he still loves us once we've truly repented. The blood cleanses us just like we've never hurt him. I'm sick and tired of seeing families separated. I'm sick and tired of it. I'm sick and tired of the devil running roughshod over the church families and doing what he's been doing in the house of God. I believe this is one of the keys to revival. Why do we talk about revival so much? Because it is the condition of this country and the world. Men are racing towards judgment. Without revival, without the church becoming revived, and the river and the fire of God burning, the river moving, we won't see the lost get saved. We won't see it on the level. I close with this. In the Welsh revival, God spoke to Evan Roberts three things, if you'll tell the people, just tell them three things to do, and I will pour out my spirit. The Welsh revival. Number one, repent of every known sin. If there's any willful sin in your life, deal with it right now. At this altar this morning, call it out. Deal with it. Repent of it. And repentance means not only confessing it, but make up your mind that you're going to do something different. You're going to change. You're going to make some changes. Listen, Acts 3:19, repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. You repent with your words, but you don't convert your ways. Your sins are not blotted out. Number one, he says, repent of every known sin. Number two, God spoke to Evan Roberts and said, tell the people to separate themselves from every questionable habit. First one was every known sin. Second's every questionable habit. What's a questionable habit? Here it is right here. Let me just kind of give you a definition. Brother Matt, is this right or wrong? Well, if a man puts that on you, then you need to go to God. Men put a lot of things on people that's not biblical. Amen? But if you've been reading the Word of God and you've been walking with Christ, and the whole principle of sanctification is dying to self, living in Christ, getting closer to Him every day, becoming more like Jesus. Anything that in my life that will separate me or cause me to compromise, I don't need to ask anybody, is this right or wrong? You know what I would do? I'd get as far away from it as possible. Brother Matt, will this send me to hell? Hey, man, Bible's not clear on it. You go pray through over it. I don't tell anybody, oh, no, that ain't going to send you to hell. Martin Luther thought drinking caffeine will send you to hell. Now, I drink caffeine, okay? Well, I don't know if he believed that. He was convicted about himself. I think he preached on it. Nevertheless, one of the great reformers. Number three, here it is.